When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And this one, I'm going to try to make this one quicker because I'm off to a class in about 20 minutes here. And but I had some really interesting conversations today that I wanted to jot down before they frittered away into the ether. And this conversation began on Google Buzz. Now, I want to say a quick word about Google Buzz. I like it a lot. I like it in some ways a lot better than Twitter because of the threaded conversations you can get. I know you can have a conversation on Twitter, but it becomes very fragmented between the at replies. And yeah, you can use a program like Tweety or TweetDeck in order to keep track of these conversations, but it doesn't... It's a little unnatural. It's a little bit like trying to fit something onto something that it where it doesn't belong necessarily. And I'm not saying that conversation doesn't belong on Twitter, but the nature of it is not immediately conducive to conversation. That's where Buzz comes in. It's a little bit more interesting to me because you can post these little thoughts like you do on Twitter, but then people can follow up with comments and it becomes a threaded comment. And yeah, you lose the brevity, but that also can be a good thing if you get into a good conversation. And it's sort of like an email conversation, but in public. So anyway, I really like it. And I don't know how many of you use it, but I'd like to use it more. It's just a matter of finding people who are using it. Right now, the people I talk to the most are Renee Van Belzen and Gonzalez on the Twitters. But what the thought of the day comes from something that Renee posted on Buzz, and I got into a conversation with him about. And he was talking about, and I don't want to misquote him, although my interpretation of what he's saying could obviously be a little skewed by my interpretation, right? So, Renee, please bear in mind that I am sort of interpreting what you're saying here, and feel free to go into the forums or on the comment thread on the site to correct me or clarify on what I was misconstruing here, if indeed I do that. But Renee was talking about a project that he is starting up, a daily recording rambling about his art day. And throughout our conversation, we got into this discussion about how the opportunity, this is going to be essentially like a part two to my episode on candor, because I think this is going to build on some of the wonderings that I've been having about being more candid as a purveyor of entertainment or educational content. And Renee sort of was in his way sort of directing my mind to this notion of what the 21st century and the internet presents us with an opportunity to do is to share everything and let the audience decide what is useful and what is not. Meaning, when it comes to the art and story audience, and I use the art and story stuff as an example because I know it's something that everybody who's listening is familiar with in terms of my content. I know if I start talking about Silver and the Periodic Forces or something, not everybody here is necessarily familiar with that comic. I know not all of you have read it, and that's fine. I'm saying that I at least know you guys are familiar with what we do with art and story. And keep going on this tack. The art and story audience tends to give us a lot of different information. Different listeners give us different input in terms of what they want. Some listeners want everything structured in a bullet pointed fashion. Here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. Make it as bite sized chunks as possible so I can immediately grab onto what I find useful and move on. Others have said that they like doing the conversational shows where we don't necessarily have a takeaway, where we just sort of have a relaxed conversation about an art topic where there's no answer at the end, and we turn to you, the listeners, and say, what do you guys think? Let's keep the conversation going on this. I like doing both because the teacher in me wants there to be some kind of value for your time invested in listening. And the teacher in me wants there to be something that makes it worth your while to invest. I mean, I know how important your time is. I mean, my time's really important, and I assume the same of my listeners. But on the other hand, I do love those art nerd conversations where we just wander aloud for a while. Those are fun too. And I for better or rather, I'm going to say, I don't know how effective I am at doing this, but I do try to find a balance between both in terms of my participation on the show. But like I was saying in the candor episode, I think it was two episodes ago now, when you present information to people, whether it's in a blog or whether it's in a podcast or however you present your information, there is the potential, if you craft your persona in a certain way and if you hold things back and you sort of curate your content, for lack of a better term, there's the potential to come off as a cardboard cutout version of you. You come off as a persona, not a person. And Renee's thoughts were sort of pointing me at this notion of, yeah, well, you know, the internet age presents us with the opportunity to let it all be out there and let the listeners find what they find useful and don't give them of this is the way you do it, this is the answer, or as we say on Art and Story, at least we try to, this is the answer as it works for me. And I was wrestling with this. This wasn't any kind of like intellectual crisis I was facing. It's just that, you know, after talking with Renee on Buzz, I was thinking, yeah, that's a really interesting thought. Am I thinking old media by curating what I say and how what I present to people? Quick asterisk sidebar in the college textbook. This is one of the flaws of podcasting in general, is that it is still, in a sense, broadcasting. It is certainly more intimate than traditional broadcasting because we can speak to niches. And it is more of a, I can respond to things that happen to me today on the show and respond to even just one listener if I want to. But it's still broadcasting. You're not having an immediate interaction with me. And as I was saying to Renee, the difference in my classrooms as opposed to when I'm podcasting is in a classroom, I am not saying this is the way to do it. I put up images on a screen and I say, what are we thinking about when we look at this? Oh, I noticed this. I noticed that that's blue. Well, why? What does that make you feel? Well, that makes me feel sad. Well, I didn't say blue makes me sad. Why did you say blue makes you sad? And then we can start talking about color theory. It's that whole Socratic method of asking the right questions and having and inspiring critical thinking that's so important. And how can we do that more with our podcasting? And as Renee was saying, at least I think he was saying, that by not trying to curate your content and just journaling what you do, you're inviting more critical thinking because you're asking the listener to find the meaning for themselves in what you're saying rather than give them a step one, step two, step three. Renee, correct me if I'm wrong. That's what I was hearing and or whether I was inferring from your writings. And I was talking with my buddy Hoover about it today because I talk to him every Wednesday because he's one of my best friends and he's a wonderful, wonderful sounding board for everything that I'm wondering about. And he said to me, he came up with, I think, a really useful analogy. He said, you know, in the early 90s when computer coloring first came along, he said, and this is, I'm speaking for Hoover now, he's like, Jersey, you and I really disagreed about what it was, is that I was excited about it because it looked really neat. I hated those old Benday dots that they used to use for coloring methods, the four-color coloring methods in the 80s. I was really happy to see these smooth, vibrant colors. But what happened? Everybody got so excited about it that it just, they created, a lot of comics came out that were very ugly. And there was no method, there was no... they didn't know how to use it well yet, and it took a couple of years before we figured out how to use computer coloring in an effective way. And now we're in this age where there's a lot of painterly style comics, coloring in comics, as well as really clever and inventive flat color techniques using Adobe Illustrator to create color comics and issuing lines altogether and going straight to just color cutout styles. There's a richer world of how computers are used in coloring comics today than, say, in 1992. And he said, Hoover said to me that what I was talking about really spoke to him of how young this new media thing is, not just publishing on the web, but broadcasting on the web and sharing your thoughts on the web, is that it's still very new. And he said he definitely agreed that the potential is there to share everything and let the audience decide what is useful and what is not. He said, but the trick in that situation is, how do you do it well? So he was saying to me, and what I thought was an interesting thought, he said, yeah, Jers, you do tend to lean towards the old broadcasting methodology of curating your content, having a really clear point that you point everybody to and say, this is the thing that we're talking about today. And also in terms of what you allow yourself to share about yourself and not swearing and et cetera. He said, but that's because that's a system that has traditionally worked. They spent 100 years perfecting this system in radio broadcasting. He said, but this new media thing is like computer coloring. It's very young, and it's going to take a lot of people throwing things at the wall to find out what works. And the real trick of sharing everything will be finding a way to do it well, finding a way to do it effectively. And that doesn't mean having a point. That doesn't mean being clear about your point. That just means making sure it's compelling in some way. Or let me put it this way, because that sounds really didactic. What we were talking about was like how a comic like Blankets by Craig Thompson can be really good. But then there's also autobio comics that are less than good, that just sound like the ramblings of somebody who is just sort of just collecting random thoughts from the day. I guess I'm really getting at a taste thing here, aren't I? Because some people might say that a more random journal comic would be more interesting because it's inviting more participation from you, the reader, whereas I want to read something, this is just my personal taste now, I want to read something that is, that feels like there's an author's voice in there. I mean, it should come as no surprise to anybody that I would like that better, because I'm always driving at this notion of what's the theme, what's the meaning, what's the message, what's the point. And I will be also the first to admit that a story doesn't necessarily have to have a point. A story can just be a series of things that happened. Does it mean I'm going to like it? No, not necessarily. I mean, but unless it's done exceptionally beautiful. I think of Wes Anderson movies. I know I'm kind of rambling here, but this is part of the experiment. I'm both modeling this idea of wandering around a point, not really getting to it right away, while exploring the idea itself. I think of Wes Anderson movies, which I find to be a little bit wandering, meandering, and pointless. But they're beautiful. They look really good. The characters are really interesting. But I don't feel like I walked away with a story for all of my time. And sometimes I get annoyed by that. But that's a taste thing. Because Wes Anderson has an enormous fan base. Way more than I can boast. So who am I to say that? Who am I to say what will work and what won't? What I'm really highlighting here is what an interesting time we're living in, where as we struggle with this whole notion of candor, what should we share, what should we not share, and how structured should it be? I put out a call in the last couple episodes when I did the journal-style one, which was less journal-style than I thought it was going to be, and I wanted to hear what people thought about it, but maybe it's going to take time with me playing around with the format of this show to figure out what both I like and what connects with other listeners. But for me, I mean, I guess coming from the standpoint of a guy who has spent a lot of time structuring stories and trying to design a message, theme, point to everything that I do. And even when I did try to do a journal episode, I found myself creating little mini morals at the end of each story. It's always going to seem a little odd to me, this notion of just documenting, journaling, capturing thoughts and audio. But at the same time, that's what people did with journals in the first place, isn't it? Journals were just a collection of thoughts. So what I guess I'm just throwing this on the table for those who thought the candor episode was interesting, to kind of keep these thoughts going, to think about what are our opportunities as content creators? And again, I'm not talking about podcasting necessarily. I'm talking about blogging along with your comic. What do you share? The danger comes in is, like, this is one of the reasons I've always had trouble with blogging, is I never wanted my blog to turn into a series of advertisements for my work. It has to be some kind of other, I think the term that Oni used in this week's Art and Story was thought leadership. You know, just sharing thoughts that are interesting that go along with the comic that people find interesting and thereby find you more interesting, which means they're more likely to support you as a content creator in general, whether it's a comic or a plushie or a t-shirt or so on. So, yeah, do we even need a format? And I am going to listen to Renee's show, and I'm going to listen with keen interest to see what happens with it. And both because I like Renee, but also because it'll be an interesting thing to watch somebody do something very different than what I do, to see what sort of new territories we're going to start breaking into with new media. I know this one was less about comics than it could have been, but I think as independent comics creators, we should be as interested in the role of new media as we are in good storytelling, because I think we've taken it upon ourselves to bring our attention to both those things as we try to if not make a living off of this stuff, at least get the word out about this thing that we enjoy doing so we can make more connections with more people and enjoy this artistic process more with more. So, okay, I don't feel like I really had a takeaway there. And so maybe this one was a journal style episode. I'm not sure, but it was at least some interesting conversations that I had today. And I hope we can take more of these conversations onto the forum or in Google Buzz or even the Twitters if you prefer that. So that's where I am led to saying, who am I? I'm Jersey Drozd, jdrozd.com, Jersey on the Twitters, Jersey Drozd on Buzz, just my email address, jerseydrozd@gmail.com. And thank you very much for your support of this project. We really couldn't do it without you. And I mean, beyond just the monetary support, also the support that you guys give by generating a lot of interesting food for thought in the forums. And like I said, I hope we can take more of this discussion to the forums because I'm really fascinated by this topic. Really interested in hearing what you guys think. So, okay, I'll get out of here then. I got to go to class. So I will be back very soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember everybody.
Today we met Nepthu, a man who wanted to become a leader and became one. But Nepthu used his leadership for his own selfish glory, and in the end he got what he deserved. Being a good leader takes a lot of responsibility, but you must also be responsible when you follow a leader. Don't do something wrong or dangerous because someone tells you to. Think before you act. We can't all be leaders, but we can all choose what's right and wrong for ourselves.